Good morning. I want to thank Pastor Mike. There he is. I can see half of you sitting back there. It's good to see you. Thank you for the opportunity to come and share today. I believe Jesus is here, and he wants to speak to our hearts this morning. So let's pray. Abba, Father, this is your house. These are your sons and daughters, whom you know intimately and you love dearly. I ask that you would give to us a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Would you open the eyes of our understanding? We want to know you more. I ask that only your heart and your words would come forth from my mouth this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles to Matthew 18, verses 1 through 5. In this passage, Jesus is with his disciples, and they are in Capernaum, which is a fishing village just north of the Sea of Galilee. And the disciples have been with Jesus seemingly about a year and a half at this point. And their expectation is that soon Jesus is going to establish his kingdom and overthrow the Roman government. So let's go ahead and read. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Then Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me." This is the word of the Lord. In a world that values bigness, Jesus calls us to be his little ones. In a world that values independence, Jesus calls us to be his dependence. Before this conversation about greatness, Jesus had just taken three of his disciples up on the Mount of Transfiguration. What a privilege to have been there, to see Jesus in all of his glory and that amazing encounter. And so, I don't know if this is accurate, but if I were one of those three, I'd be thinking, oh, I'm one of the three that got to go see that. So, if you look at this account that we just read in some of the other Gospels, kind of fills in the gaps a little bit more, but what's happening is these disciples are beginning to argue over who is the greatest. They don't even want Jesus to know that they're arguing about it. And he knows their hearts and asks them. So it's then that they ask Jesus, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And he responds to their question first by saying, "Unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." Our tendency as humans is to equate greatness with bigness, possessions, popularity, influence, education. But Jesus says, change and become as little children. He wouldn't have said change and become if this were natural for us. We don't naturally embrace being little. When we moved to Ashland in 2016, I was about 6 months pregnant with our daughter Emily. I was literally starting to get big. And some friends told us about the Croc Center, so we started to go regularly for something they call Bounce and Play. Now, if you haven't been, you should come with us sometime, because it's lots of fun. Basically, bounce and play is just a time for little ones to come and run around on their indoor soccer field. There's balls everywhere, frisbees, and they have a giant castle-like bounce house. So children can come and get lots of energy out, and it's wonderful. Well, one day we were there, and I'm, like I said, 6 months pregnant, and Isaiah says, "Mommy, Mommy, come jump with me." And I said, oh, buddy, I really wish I could, but your baby sister's in my tummy. I can't get in there." And he said, "Okay." So this would happen again and again. We would go, and he would ask me to jump with him, and I would say, "I can't. I'm sorry. Your baby sister's in my tummy." Well, eventually that excuse didn't work for me anymore because Emily was born. So fast forward to February. It's Valentine's Day, 2017, and we're there, and Isaiah says, "Mommy, bounce with me." Now I'm looking for another excuse. I'm looking at the rules on the side. Does it say anything about adults not being able to get in? Oh my goodness, it doesn't. So it was then that I realized that being pregnant wasn't really what was making me big. It was actually my pride. I'm looking around and thinking, I'm a grown woman. I'm a professor at Ashland University. I don't know what all these other people would think. I don't see any other grown-ups taking their shoes off and climbing up there. But I, like I said, was without excuse. And so I humbled myself, took off my shoes, laid down my pride, and I got down like a little kid and scooted up through that awkward opening and bounced with Isaiah. He was, needless to say, pretty excited. I don't know about you, but sometimes being little is hard for me. I like to cling to my own accomplishments, my own appearance and reputation to provide me with a sense of significance and greatness. And before looking any further at this passage, my response to Jesus is help. I don't know if you're there with me, but he says, "Change and become little," and I just say, "Help." This is not natural for me, but he knows that already, and I believe we can ask him to help us. When we realize we're looking to something other than being his for a sense of greatness, we can change and become little, and he will help us. Asking him to help you can be the first step in laying down the world's definition of significance and greatness to embrace his definition. Now, I hate to break it to you, but this call to be his little ones is eternal. Doesn't change. In a world that values independence, Jesus calls us to be his dependents forever. In verse 3, he said, "Unless you are converted and become like children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven." In verse 4, "Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." So entering and becoming great both require being like little children. Now, the world says it's okay to start out dependent on your parents, but come on, grow up, right? You gotta outgrow that. It's, you know, ultimately the goal is to become independent if you wanna be great. But Jesus says, "You were born into my kingdom fully dependent on the Father. I know you desire greatness. And I'm calling you still to remain dependent on my Father." I feel like he's saying here, now that you've been following me a while, I'm not looking for you to become more independent. It's actually the opposite. Now, as I mentioned, just to enter into the bounce house, I had to become small, right? Just like our salvation, we are saved by grace through faith, fully dependent on what God did for us. 8.5 years ago, Josiah took me to Manuel Antonio to go on our honeymoon. It was wonderful. And we went zip lining. And Manuel Antonio is a small oceanside village outside of, in Costa Rica. Let me help you with that. We're in Costa Rica, if you haven't heard of Manuel Antonio. And if you look at the map, we're about halfway down the country on the Pacific coast. And there's tropical forests and mountains, and it's beautiful. Now, I had been ziplining before, so I knew a little bit about what to expect. When you go ziplining, if you haven't done that, there's a wide range of emotions and feelings. So we arrived, and almost immediately, we felt a little bit like little children. They're fitting us with harnesses, and they're checking all the straps. They're putting a helmet on us. They might have let us do that on our own. There were two of us, and there were six of them. So to give you a fuller picture of how we felt like little kids. And on top of that, they're telling us what to do, when to do it, how to do it, where to go, and we were completely dependent on them. When you're ziplining from beginning to end, greatness is really just depending and trusting. That's, if you do that, you're going to do great. Towards the end of the tour, I'm standing up on one of the 14 tree platforms, and I'm looking down over the edge, and thinking, that is a really long way down. It's literally about 1,400 foot drop off. I had to look that up. But then I look out through the tropical forest and the Pacific Ocean, and then another thought comes, this is going to be awesome. As the guide clips my harness into the pulley, he says to me, are you ready to ride the longest zip line in Costa Rica? And I'm thinking, well, I say out loud, yeah, I'm ready. But inside I'm thinking, well, I'm ready if you're ready. You're the expert here. I mean, why are you asking me if I'm ready? I just have to jump off. So a little bit of fear starts to set in, and I become aware of that fear. And I find myself just needing some extra assurance. So I say to him, now, hold on a minute. Are you sure this cable is going to hold me? I mean, I know you, can you check all the straps again? Just make sure we're good. And he says, yes, I promise it's going to hold you. And I'm like, but what about the guys at the other end? Are they ready for me? I mean, I don't want to hit the tree. Yep, they're ready for you, I promise. Feeling a little bit more confident, I step forward and I'm staring at the, not kidding, 4,300 foot long cable. And it looks strong, and then I remember, okay, Josiah just went ahead of me. He's there waiting. He's got a video camera. Okay. You can ask him for footage later. So I walk forward, muster all the courage I can, and I scream the magic word, zipping! And they say, zip on! And I step off the platform and fly through the air, and it was absolutely exhilarating. Throughout the entire journey, our only requirement was being little, being dependent, to depend, to trust, but also to communicate openly and honestly. Even though I'd been on the zip line before, I still needed the harness, right? Still needed the helmet, still needed the pulley, I still needed the team. After we had done 10 of the runs, they didn't say, okay, you guys have been doing this a while. We're going to meet you back at the camp and we'll see you there, okay? They didn't do that. They stayed with us. And even though it was on one of the last zipline runs that I started to actually really feel afraid, The guide let me voice those concerns, and he didn't shame me. He assured me. Somewhere along our Christian journey, I think many of us started buckling our own straps and attaching the pulley. We started doing things on our own and started trying to be big and do great things. However, the whole journey from start to finish is meant to be one of dependency, trust, and constant communication. We can answer this call to be his little ones by day after day after day, saying, I need you. I can't do this without you. I don't want to do this without you. And God can handle our complaints even. He can handle our need. He doesn't shame us. I just want to point out, when the disciples asked him this question, he didn't respond like maybe some of us experienced at times throughout our life. Come on. Why are you fighting over that? He didn't shame them for their need to feel great and significant. In calling us to be his little ones, Jesus is inviting us to depend on his love the way he depended on his Father's love. If you look, you don't have to turn there, but in John 15, verse 9, and I'm going to read from the Passion Translation, Jesus says, I love you with the same love that the Father loves me. You must continually let my love nourish your hearts. If you keep my commands, you will live in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands. And get this, he says, for I continually live nourished and empowered by his love. Jesus continually lived nourished and empowered by his Father's love, and he calls us to do the same. Now, in the world's kingdom, if you could picture a triangle, you have the king at the top and then all of the people who love and serve him at the bottom. But God's kingdom is just the opposite. It's like an upside down triangle, and you have the ones who are being served and being loved and our servant king at the bottom. I'm going to read a quote. This is Brennan Manning. He says, I am utterly convinced that on Judgment Day, the Lord Jesus is going to ask each one of us one question and only one question. Did you believe that I loved you? That I desired you? That I waited for you day after day? That I longed to hear the sound of your voice? The God revealed by and in Jesus Christ this moment comes right to your seat and says, I have a word for you. I know your whole life story. I know every skeleton in your closet. I know every moment of sin, shame, dishonesty, and degraded love that has darkened your past. Right now, I know your shallow faith, your feeble prayer life, your inconsistent discipleship. And my word to you is this. I dare you to trust that I love you just as you are and not as you should be, because you're never going to be as you should be. When our kids wake up in the morning, I've been noticing this. So Isaiah comes to us in our room if we're not already up, and this is what he says. He says, can we start the day together? Emily hasn't figured out how to climb out of her crib yet. Or maybe she knows how, but she still doesn't want to. And this is what she does. Okay, she calls to us, but I have to back up to model this for you. She literally goes, Mom! Like, holds the note for, like, 5 seconds. I think she's going to be a singer, too. Or it's dad. Like, we're like, how is she holding that note that long? And all throughout the day, both of our kids are constantly needing to be nourished by our love. I mean, it's exhausting. They're constantly bringing us their needs, telling us what they're thinking and feeling all the time. Now, as much as we love our kids, Josiah and I have a different preferred way of waking up in the morning. We prefer to wake up, and it's very simple. Coffee, quiet, and alone to be with Jesus. But we want to do the same thing that our kids do. We want to say, "Dad," right? Can we start the day together? What do you think about me? What do you feel about me? Am I still important to you? Are you aware of me? And I tell you, maybe you're different than me, but for me, it can take a long time to even believe that he's there, that he cares. Abba calls us to bring our needs to him, to express our thoughts and feelings to him, to let his love continually nourish us. He says in chapter 19, he says, "Let the little children come to me." And I was reading that, and I felt like the Lord was saying, "Let the little child in you come to me," all throughout the day. Jesus didn't shame his disciples over their need for greatness, and he doesn't shame us. He doesn't shame us over our need. So you and I are invited to just climb up on Abba's lap and sit there and let him hold us all the time, period. You don't have to do anything. We can ask Jesus for help in this, to be content in being his little ones. I feel like he's saying, remember how this all started. Big me, little you. I feel like we have a choice to make this morning. Whether you have never even entered in, and whether you feel strong having entered in, or whether you feel weak. To enter in, we have to be little, right? And I'm wondering if there's anyone here today who, hearing all of this, is thinking, you know what? I don't know if I ever really did enter in. You thought you had to do the right thing, that it was on you. But he's saying, no, just come. There might be some here who are very aware that they're little, that they're weak. You might be going through something. And I believe the Lord just says, run to your Abba. Let his love nourish you. Blessed are you who are poor, who are needy, who are broken. But then there might be some of us who feel strong and significant. Be careful not to attach your greatness to what you do. I want to ask us a question. Do we feel strong and significant because we are children of God? Or is it because of something else? Have we attached our greatness and our sense of significance, our security, have we attached that to something else? I want to invite you to close your eyes this morning. And if it's all right, I'd like to lead you through an experiential. I basically want to share with you something the Holy Spirit shared with me recently. Just invite you to take in a deep breath. Hear yourself whisper, "Come." And let that breath out and say, "Holy Spirit." Do that again. Take in a deep breath. "Come." And let it out, "Holy Spirit." Picture the Sea of Galilee. The water is completely calm, and there's a warm breeze in the air. And it's morning. The sun is just starting to rise over the water. And Jesus is there, and he's walking on the water. The colors are beautiful. And he's holding you, but you're little. Can you imagine yourself there? Jesus is holding you. Maybe you're an infant all swaddled tight like I am. Maybe you're a little bit older. But this is what Jesus is saying. I'm glad you're here. He says, I'm glad you're here. You're letting him hold you and you're not doing anything. You're just alive. Totally dependent on him. He says, I'm glad you're here.